I'd like to thank the elders and the church for giving me this opportunity to speak. I'd like to give you a little bit about myself. I have been in a public speaking group, Toastmasters, for 5+ years. I'm in my second year now, about to finish up my second year, working on my bachelor in Bible study and ministry. So when Monty went on his vacation, I said, hey, see if I can get in there between the two elders and get a word in edgewise. I'd like to talk to you today about worship. It's one of my pet peeves, I guess. Why are you here? Why am I here? Are we here to socialize? Get caught up with the local gossip? Or do we come here because we're part of a family? Part of a big family? Do we come here to worship our Father? The Bible speaks of two types of worship. Godly worship and vain worship. The word worship appears over 100 times in the Bible. To worship, according to the modern dictionary, means to pay homage or reverence to a deity. God created man with the desire to worship. Cain and Abel worshiped by offering sacrifices unto the Lord. That was in Genesis 4, verses 3 and 4. Upon leaving the ark, Noah offered a sacrifice to the Lord in Genesis 8 and verse 20. In Genesis 22 and 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here, and the lad and I will go and worship the Lord, and we will come back. This is the first time the word worship is used in the Bible. In Matthew 4 and verse 10, Jesus is being tempted by Satan. And he said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only should you serve. Jesus is referring to the scripture that's in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, where Moses exhorted the Israelites to worship God with all their hearts. The scriptures tell us how to worship in a godly manner. If you would, we'll read Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. It says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. This gives us an example that worship should be based on right doctrinal teaching. It also shows that we can worship in vain. When asked, why do disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? Jesus answered them, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of tradition. For God command, honor your father and mother, and he who cursed father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or to his mother, that wherewith thou mightest been profited to me, by me, is given to God, and he shall not honor his father. In that time it was customary for the children to take responsibility of supplying the needs of their parents in old age. According to history, customary for the people, customary for people to will their property to the temple, with the understanding that they had use of all property until death. When the Jews did this, they changed the law of God, because they did not under any responsibility to take care of father and mother in old age. Jesus says, "You have made void the word of God because of your tradition. Ye hypocrites." Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." What is wrong with religion today? Jesus warns us not to make tradition law. There are traditions that are good, but we should always search the scriptures for the law of God. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, we read, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." In verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." So we must have our heart and our mind so that we... I've learned doing this. I get real dry mouth with my allergies. So we must have our heart and our mind into what we are doing, or it will be in vain. This means when service starts, we need to clear our mind and leave the world outside and worship with a pure mind and heart. It is not what we want, it's what God wants. Why should we worship with a pure heart, mind and heart? We read in Psalms 29, verse 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." What is the purpose of acceptable worship? The purpose of acceptable worship is to get closer to God. In James 4, verses 7 and 8, says, "Submit to God and resist the devil. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, "So to draw closer to Jesus, we need to try to become like Him." Scriptural acts of worship has been shown to us through the Bible. We have examples of singing, communion, prayer, teaching and or sermons, and giving. I could not find in the Bible where it tells of a certain order of worship, except for the communion. So I'll start with that. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29, and in Mark 14, verses 22 through 25, and Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, they talk about what has become known as the Last Supper. This is where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And Mark tells us in Mark 14, verses 22 through 25. So Jesus picks up the bread, He blesses it, breaks it, and passes it around to His disciples. Then He picks up His cup and blesses it and passes it around to his disciples. In Luke 22, verse 19, is where we get this saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, Paul confirms this with Corinthians. So we have an order of the Lord's Supper that we follow. When should we partake of it? Luke shows us in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." Now we have established how and what order to partake of it, to partake of the Lord's Supper, and when. So let's look at why we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We partake of the Lord's Supper as a memorial. In Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, and it reads in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 25, both tell us that phrase, "Do this in remembrance of me." So it is a memorial to Jesus. It also is a proclamation, because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 and 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now we learn that we gather together on the first day of the week, and in order to remember Jesus' death on the cross. We could have this memorial any time on the first day of the week. We have traditions that we follow in the order of service, for order and to enhance our mind for worship. I could not find any order or time for any other acts of worship either. As we continue to look at the acts of worship, let's look at teaching. How do we teach? Today, we teach several ways. We have classroom teaching for all ages. Then we come together as a family to worship by teaching and edifying. Paul traveled and taught and preached as he went. The sermon and reading the Bible are all ways of teaching. Teaching is a part of worship, so we can learn more of God's will. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 reads, "We come together to stir up one another, to exhort each other, to build up one another. That is why we should be here." As one quotation reads, "It's a mad, mad, mad world out there. That's why we should be here." My sister-in-law refers to Orlando as Sodom. And looking at the local paper, you'll understand. So we need to gather together and encourage each other that we will not become one with this world. And Acts 20, verse 7, tells us that after they broke bread, Paul spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Can you imagine listening to me until midnight? That's enough to scare everyone. One thing they didn't say is when he started. It could have been the evening hour, but you don't have to worry about that with me, not tonight. In Acts 2 and 42, reads that those that were baptized continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teaching of God's word. In Matthew 15 and 9, warns us not to teach as doctrines the commandments of men. In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, warns us against false teachers. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4, we read, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. So this teaches that we must preach the word all the time when it is popular and when it is not. Be ready in season and out of season. Teach to convince, rebuke, exhort. Luke tells us in Acts 20, verses 20 and 27, hold nothing back. Teach publicly and from house to house. Teach the whole gospel. Now we touched on it a little bit. We'll go back to it. We'll look at singing. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2, verse 12, that we should sing, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. We also see in Mark 14, verses 26, after the Lord's Supper, they sung a hymn, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it shows that we should sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Paul also tells us we should sing. And why? We are told to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in praise, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Paul also tells us to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord in Ephesians 5:19. Giving or contribution is also an act of worship. Giving should be done on the first day of the week. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Paul also tells us to put some aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there will be no collections when I come. Be ready. Who should give? Each member should be giving. What should we give? We should give purposefully, and it should be planned. How should we give? We should give according to our means. Why should we give? So we do not have to gather when I come, is what the Bible says. This brings to mind a parable of the 10 virgins. We need to be ready when he comes. It is our tradition to take up the collection at the end of the Lord's Supper as a convenient time. Some feel this should be given more time in a worship service because we are instructed to give. prayer is another thing we do in our worship. Prayer could be a sermon in itself. Luke tells us in Acts 2, verse 42, that new Christians should continue steadfastly in prayer. And Paul exhorts us to pray and give thanks for all men. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5, tells us that we should enjoy to pray. We should pray for the kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior. In verse 8, Paul says, I desire that men pray everywhere. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, tells us our prayer should be understood. And verse 15 states that prayer should be with spirit and understanding. In John 15 and verse 6 shows us that all prayer should be to God through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Many things can corrupt worship. We have a standard set in the scripture of worship and how to worship acceptable to God. We also have examples of what not is acceptable to God. Is worship that you offer acceptable to Him? Are you living a life acceptable to Him? If you need the prayers of the church or to give your life a living sacrifice to God, let us know as we stand and sing.